Blog Talk Radio.
You are my light. There is no God like you. And we Thank you.
dejarlo.
Hey, we
just want to bring you a little reggae. You're still in the building right now. It's a freestyle this thing. All right. Lift your hands with me. I've come to praise you for your goodness and your kind. Your faithfulness and love you show to me. See when I fall, you pick me up. The mercy's never new. More, more, more. Yes, you wish for more. Can I take it again? Sing, I've come to praise you for your goodness and your kind.
Get to Christmas. Thank you. Jesus, let the weight of your glory fall, Father. We do not seek your hand. We only seek your face, Lord. We want to see you. We want to know you. Reveal your glory in this place. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for your awesome anointing, for your awesome presence, O God. We recognize that in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand, they are truly present forevermore. We pray today for this man of God, this woman of God, that they would come today and that they would break bread for us, your children, O God, and that we would come to the table. As we come to the table, we would eat. We would feast, O God. O God, we will receive manna from heaven today, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you will use their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay, God. Even as they decrease now, you would increase, O God. Lord, as they surrender to you, Lord God, you will lift them up, O God, that they would do what you have called them to do, Lord. None of them, but all of you, Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts today. We are hungry and we are thirsty, Lord. Feed us and cause our cups to run over, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle, and allow the Lord to use you. Come on in. Come on in.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time of day it might be, to God be all the glory, honor, and praise. Hallelujah.
Amen,
so
amen.
Wonderful to be in the land
of
the
living.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Let the way of his glory cover us. Hallelujah. You know I love that song.
Yeah.
We're coming to you. I'm Bishop James, and my wife is Apostle Linda. We're coming to you. But we are Block Talk Radio this morning. That's our favorite radio. Hallelujah. That's our home base. Hallelujah. Good day and blessings be upon our apostle, Apostle David Callender, our spiritual leader. Hallelujah. Today we're going to do another part of the previous teaching, the powerful presence of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Now, we have one particular psalm that we're going to today, and we're going to feature verses 11 through 12, but I'm going to read the whole psalm, Psalm 91, okay, which pretty much covers us. Psalm goes, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. Who else can we trust in? Hallelujah. Only God. Hallelujah. For he is all-knowing. He's made all things. Hallelujah. And he's given us a way to live, and he's given us protection. And the psalm is saying that. Hallelujah. See, he alone is my refuge and my safety. He is my God, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from the deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and the protection. Praise you, Lord God. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that lies in the day. Do not dread the diseases that stalk in darkness, nor the disasters that strike at midnight, at midday. So, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 are dying around you. These evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Oh, glory. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Pay attention to that, huh? No evil will conquer you, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Thank you, Father. You will trample upon the lions and cobras. You will crush the fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. Hallelujah. I will reward them with long life and give them my salvation. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the protection that you bestow on us. Hallelujah. Apostle Linda, are you ready? Here. Okay. Here's my better half, Apostle Linda Washington. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Am I in love? Still, after 33, 34 years, am I still in love? Here you go, dear. Okay, I'm coming to you. Okay, can't hear you from there. All right.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop, for that reading. Glory be to God. Thank God for all of you on the line. Prayers have gone forth. Worship has gone forth. And we continue to worship the Lord. Praising our God for all that he is.
Yes.
Most powerful, magnificent and awesome God, holy God. He's holy. Holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. And heaven and earth is filled with his glory. Hosanna. Glory be to God. Hosanna. We're praising God this morning, as usual. We're supposed to praise him on our way to bed, praise him when we wake up, and even in our sleep.
Yes,
we pray, we are praising God and praying and hearing from the Lord as we are in that vulnerable state.
Yes.
I really, really, I love that Psalm 91 because, you know, it talks about how God is covering us, how God is protecting us. As he protected Moses, we talked about Moses. He was the focus. Of course, Jesus Christ is the focus. But what God was doing with Moses, and Moses had to lead these people, and God said they were stiff-necked. They were those that rejected God, rejected obedience, and God was angry with them. But anyway, we did Psalm 91 as we were led by the Holy Spirit to do Psalm 91 to remind us all that God will cover us as he covered Moses, as he covered Joshua, as he covered all of his patriarchs in the Bible, covering us today. It has not changed. And so we're going to go to another scripture. We started in Psalm 139. We're going to 91, and we're going to go to a lot more scripture. So have your Bibles, if you will. It's up to you. We're going to go to quite a bit of scripture. Glory be to God. First, I would like to go to Philippians. I'll go to Philippians right now. Thank you, Apostle, once again for this opportunity.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And to break bread. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for praising the Lord. For giving us this opportunity, it's wonderful, and it's what we love to do, and it gives us joy. to come and break bread with the saints.
Yeah.
To do what the Lord said to do, to come together with your brothers and your sisters. That's what he said, come together. It pleases him. We should meet together often, and we do this every day on Blog Talk. Some are here every day and some are not, but nevertheless, we're all one body, and we as the people of God, the people of God, the people of Yahweh, we praise God together. We pray together. We are united as one in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have one Lord, the great love of God, and his great presence. Glory be to God.
Yes.
So there's power in the presence of Yahweh, much power in his presence. And Moses was one that witnessed that. He was one that was used mightily by the Lord. And that's why we went to Moses and focused on Exodus chapter 33, where Moses went up to the mountain and to meet with God. And he was given the Ten Commandments. We all know the story. And when he came back down, they had erected a golden calf, and Moses was very, very angry. And they did it along with Aaron, which obviously he did not reject that. He went along with them. And even if he hadn't gone along with them, they probably would have done it. But Aaron had the knowledge and the skill to get it done. So he was very much a part of it. And I'm sure Moses was even more angry with him, because he left him there, and he was supposed to be in charge, of course, with God first on his mind. If God had been the only one on his mind, and if he was extremely faithful to God, then he would not have done that, I'm sure, unless he was just afraid of the people. And that's still no excuse to God, because God said, do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And so therefore, we should continue to do what God said, no matter what forces come against us, no matter what the challenge is, no matter what's going on. We have to trust God to be the one to protect us. He's the only one that really can protect us. And many people don't know a lot of things that happen with us, tragic things that may happen. When we come through it, it's because God allowed it. God allowed it. God was there to protect us. He's even there for people who have not received him yet. Yes. Why? Because the grace of God is abounding among the sinners. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Mm-hmm. So God is always there. He's always there. He pulls out his mercy. And he says in his word that he will have mercy whom he chooses to have mercy on. Amen. And that's very important to understand that. So let's go to, I'm already there. I hope you are. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving,
hallelujah,
present your request to God.
No.
And that's very important. This is what the man of God did. This is what Moses did. He presented his request. He was a man of prayer. And when he needed to talk to God, he talked to God. He had a conversation with God in this chapter 33 that we're talking about. He had a conversation with God because God was ready to destroy these people. He said they were a stiff-necked people. They had rejected his word, and he was ready to destroy them. But Moses interceded for the people to God. And so that's very important for us. It's a good note for us to make, that even when we see people backsliding, or we see people that don't have that respect, that honor for God, we can minister. We can minister and not be afraid to minister, and also to intercede for those people. When I hear people talking about a certain person or what they're doing, and, you know, doing this or doing that, I say, well, just you know, sometimes people call me and talk about things going on in the family, things going on in their marriage or whatever it is. And the first thing I always say is to pray about it. To pray about it. Before we complain about it, pray about it. Of course, I don't tell them they're complaining. But because sometimes when we get distraught, we just have to talk about things. And Moses was very, very distraught. And so who did he go to talk about it? He went to God to talk about it and had that conversation with God. You know, when we have that intimate relationship with God, we're going to go talk to God when things are going on. And like I said, I tell people all the time, pray about it. Pray for your sister. Pray for your brother. Pray for that person's marriage. Don't get involved in trying to give them advice about their intimate relationship or whatever, but listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for the Holy Spirit, and he will have a word. Sometimes it's just we're just to be there to be an arm, to be a shoulder to cry on, you know, just to be that person that's going to listen, have a listening ear for them. And that sometimes that's all people need. They're not always asking for our advice. But Moses needed to ask God for his counsel, and he went before the Lord to do just that. And so that's why I started out with Philippians, because Moses wasn't anxious about it. Moses wasn't so anxious. I mean, he did break the tablet with the Ten Commandments on it, but that was because he was angry. That was a human emotion, my God. And God didn't scold him for that. He didn't scold him and punish Moses for that because he understood how Moses felt. It wasn't right to do, but at that moment, he just got so angry. And how could you dishonor God like this? I'm going up to the mountain. I'm going up to the mountain to talk to God on the behalf of all the people, and this is what you're doing. He was summoned to the mountain, and this is what you're doing. This is what you're doing while I'm not here. And so it's very important in this scripture that we just read that we give our petitions to God through prayer with thanksgiving. We make those requests to God, and that's what Moses did. And so the Lord said that he told Moses, he said, well, go ahead. I mean, we went through this yesterday, just summarizing a little bit. Go ahead. They can go to the land. They can go to the land flowing in milk and honey. You can go. Go ahead. You can go to the land of Canaan. But he said he wasn't going with them. And Moses said, well, if you're not going to go, I'm not going. Moses didn't want to deal with all of this without the Lord. He knows that the Lord is powerful, and he knows that I do not want to be away from your presence. If you are not going with me, I don't want to go. And that's speaking volumes. This is speaking to us today. We are to know that wherever we go, the Spirit of the Lord is with us, but God is not with us if we are delving in sin and delving in unrighteousness, and dishonoring God, then God is not with us. He's not going to be with us in any plans. He's not going to be with us where we go. But we thank God for mercy. Yeah. We still thank God for mercy because we can't speak totally on behalf of God because God's ways and thoughts are way higher than ours. The Bible tells us that in the book of Isaiah. His ways and his thoughts are higher than ours, and we cannot attain it. David says, it's too wonderful for me. It's too much for me. It's too deep for me. I cannot attain it because God is so much more greater than anyone, greater than everything, greater than all of us that he made all put together, greater than all of his creations. God is greater and above all. Amen. And so Moses knew that. I do not want to go without you. And that's how I do not want to make some plans without you, God. I don't want to do anything without you, God. We just go before God with those prayers. And first we must be thankful. We must give him those thanks. The Bible says, we should enter the courts. How does it go? Enter thanksgiving and his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we do. So first we give him the thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And then everything just kind of opens up, you know, and we stay on our face stay on our knees, standing up. We're on our knees praying. We're standing praying. We're sitting praying. We're lying down praying in many different postures. We pray. However we're led to do it. Some people can't be on their knees because they have issues. Some people can't stand for very long because they have issues. But nevertheless, we still must praise God. And that's all part of bringing God into the situation. It allows God to know that I trust you. I trust you, Lord, and I need you to be in this situation with me. Glory be to God. I don't want to do it without you, God. Can't be without you, God. Bishop, I see you over there.
No, I just want to let everybody know how many people Moses was in charge of. I was unaware.
Well, according to history, there were about 2 million people, 2 million Israelites. That's a lot of people. Imagine how long it took them. Well, maybe it wasn't so long because of God's power.
Oh, yeah.
God could have got them over there real fast. You know what I mean? But if you think of it in terms of our thinking, we don't know how long it really took them to pass through that dry land when God opened up the Red Sea.
Why
we don't know.
That the dogs were coming down. So many people going up. Because as long as the dogs were up, that water was going to be held back.
Right.
That's why
he needed help.
And
Aaron. And Joshua. But that happened also when he was addressing Pharaoh.
Yeah.
When he was addressing Pharaoh. So God gave Moses the help that he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we must know. That's why we read Psalm 91, because we are covered by God. When we love him, it specifically says in that psalm, because we have known him, he will give us a long, satisfied life. When we know God, we are intimate with God. We have known him, and which means that we have been obedient and we've been seeking the Lord all throughout our walk with him. We seek him, and it blesses us. It blesses our life. And God is not going to leave us forsaken. He has said that in his word. He will be with us always. And so this is what this is all about. He was with Moses, and he listened to Moses because Moses had a rapport with God, with Yahweh. He had that rapport. He had that intimate relation with Yahweh. So remember, we must make our petitions with thanksgiving. Always approach God with thanksgiving, letting him know how much we appreciate him. Amen. That is before we go and begin to preach or before any kind of meeting. Even if you're having a dinner party, always give God thanks. That's just an example. Give God thanks for the gathering. Thanks for the food. Thanks for everything that he provided. And that pleases God so much, because the Bible says with thanksgiving, and don't be anxious, which means we must wait on God. We must wait on God with prayer. Wait on God I always say wait on him and be a good waiter, waiting on him with the thanksgiving, waiting on him like we're serving up, we're serving God, we're serving up that thanksgiving, we're giving God, hallelujah, that praise and that honor, and then we worship him. We worship Almighty God. We seek his face, and that gives us that wonderful feeling to know that my God is with me. I know he's with me. I'm praising him because I know he's with me. Hallelujah. And it makes God very happy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we're giving God the joy by the way we live our lives, we're giving him that joy. When we're doing what we're supposed to do in terms of obeying God, then it gives him joy.
Yes.
Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yes.
And then we have the joy because God is going to constantly be with us. He's going to constantly show his power in our lives, and therefore it gives us joy.
It's a two-way situation. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God joy. He gives us joy in return. Whatever you give, you shall receive. That's what the Bible says. You give joy, you receive joy. Amen. You give God that adoration, and you also will have adoration. Not that we seek it, but then people will begin to respect you. People will respect your walk with God. They will respect the fact that you honor God. They'll respect the fact that you are a saint of God. And you'll hear some people, when people are around me, sometimes if they slip and start cursing, there's something they do. I have one that curse a lot, and they'll be saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, because they know your walk. They know your walk, but they have a habit of doing that. They have a habit of doing that, and so it's going to come out wherever they go. But you hear them say, so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that in front of you. And it's because of your walk. It's because of your light that's shining. It's because of the Yahweh in you. Yes, sir. Amen. You're following the ways of Yahweh, and people will see that light. See the light of God. You become a flavor in the earth by being the salt. God said that you would be that you would have the salt. Hallelujah. The light in the salt. That salt, you know what salt does? It purifies. My God. Salt is tasty. It makes the food more tasty. Hallelujah. So when you have the light shining, they will see that the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. The Lord is shining in you, shining through you, just like when Moses came off the mountain. My God. And his face was glowing. He didn't even know. He didn't know that his face was glowing. Moses didn't really know, but the people could see that he was glowing. Now, our faces might not shine like that. You know, I'm sure it may not be shining like that, but the light of God is shining through us, and that light is the way that we carry ourselves. Amen. We carry ourselves like we have the light. We do have the light in our lives. So we carry ourselves in a way that's pleasing to God. And that light is going to shine. That salt is going to be there. That flavor, that holy flavor, amen, is going to be there. People will see that you're walking a holy life. Amen. Not strangers necessarily, but they'll see there's something different about you. You can go to a gathering. And everybody's sitting at the table, and they're drinking and all of that, and they're drinking alcohol. They might be getting high, but you were invited to the gathering. And you go to the gathering, but you're sitting at the table, and I've done this. I'm sitting at the table, and I have a Coke. I have a Coke, but I was invited to the wedding. Amen. But I'm going to have a Coke. I'm not going to get up there and do the button, all that stuff, and do those dances and all that stuff. But if my husband is with me and we want to do a slow dance, we can do a slow dance. We can do a slow dance. That's my husband. I could dance with him. Glory be to God. There's no sin in us having a dance together, but we're not going to get up there and do any dirty dancing. I'm just talking about the glory of God. I'm just talking about the awesome presence of God. When you're walking in the light, there are certain things that we're not going to do, certain places we just don't go. But sometimes when there's a family member getting married, when there's someone very close to you getting married, you want to go to that wedding. Jesus went to the wedding. He knew they was drinking wine. He knew they drank up all the wine, and some of them was already high, but they wanted more wine. But Jesus was still at the wedding. Amen. Jesus went among the sinners. Glory be to God. He was with us when we were sinning. Amen. So let's go on. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. We're so happy to be able to say that, because he has made us able. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we were just paraphrasing a little bit on this word in Exodus 33. God wanted them to go up to that land flowing with milk and honey. God said, go on up. I just want to stress that. But because they're stiff-necked, God said, I'm not going to be with you, because they're stiff-necked people, and I might just destroy them on the way. Oh, my God. We never know when God is going to bring that judgment. He said, I might destroy you on the way. So God has The power, always the power is in God. We don't have that. We have power within us, but it's not greater than God's power. But God will do great things through us. So in verse 4, just want to paraphrase here. Not paraphrase, but go over this. Verse 4 in chapter 33 of Exodus. The people heard what distressing words that were said, and now they begin to mourn because they don't want to be destroyed. They don't want to obey, but they don't want to be destroyed. They don't want anything bad to happen to them. They begin to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments because God told them, take that stuff off. Take your ornaments off. So they didn't put their ornaments on. So in verse 5, for the Lord had said to Moses, tell the Israelites, you are a stiff-necked people. And people get angry with the people of God, us on this line even, when the Lord has us to say things and people take it personally. The Lord has us to say things and people get upset or may not come back to the line. But whatever the Lord says for us to say, we have to say it. We have to say it or we will become disobedient to the Holy Spirit. So he says, if I were to go with you, even for a moment, I might destroy you. He says, now take that stuff off. Take off your ornaments, and I will decide what to do with you. So they did so. They stripped off all the ornaments at Mount Horeb. Now in verse 7, we went through this the other day, just going through a little bit. Moses used to take, this is powerful right here, Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Hallelujah. So God, Moses would go to meet with God, stressing that again. Anyone inquiring of the Lord will go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. They're not in there with Moses. They're outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance to their tent, watching Moses until he entered the tent. They would watch until he go in. So as Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Mm-hmm. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud, isn't that awesome? God is covering that tent meeting. He's covering that power. That power of Yahweh is there. That presence of Yahweh is there and his power in his presence. That is the topic today. So at the entrance of the tent, that cloud is standing there. They all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to their own tent. They're not over there in the tent with Moses. Moses is meeting with the Lord. So now here it is. The Lord always spoke to Moses. He speaks to Moses face to face, which means that Moses is in the presence of God. Amen. The presence of God, because God said no man can live if you see his face. He told that to Moses, and Moses would return to the camp. But his young age, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Okay, so he had someone with him. He had a witness with him. Amen. Moses went up. Moses experienced the glory of God. Hallelujah. Now, here's something else that we need to focus on too, or just remember. Moses says to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. He's telling God what you said, what he said, which is what we should do. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Mm-hmm. In verse 13, and Moses says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways. Very important. So I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this is very important. If you are pleased with me, teach me. We want God to teach us his ways. So we will know him and continue to find favor with him. The only way to continue to find favor is speak very clearly, is to know that we must be pleasing to God, seeking his face and doing what he says to do. Hallelujah. And he tells God, remember that this nation is your people. Hallelujah. This is Moses speaking to God. This is your people. So the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. You can trust. I will give you rest. You can trust that you're going to get over safely. You can trust that I will speak to you and lead you, guide you all the way. Because along that path, there are dangers. There are dangers in life as we go along our journey. There are dangers. There are things out there. There are elements out there that can be very destructive. Much can happen when we're going anywhere or when we're doing anything. We need God's presence. Amen. We need him to be with us. So Moses is pleased now. God is saying, I'm going to give you rest. That's why we read Psalm 91. God's going to give us rest. God's going to give us his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Amen. So then Moses said to him, your presence does not go with us. Don't send us up there. I don't want to go. I don't want to go without you, God. That's what Moses is saying. And he also says to God, how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me, people, from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know your name. Hallelujah. When God is pleased with you, he already knows our name. But we want God to be pleased with us. We want the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, which I mentioned. We want the joy and God wants the joy. Amen. And then Moses said, well, now show me your glory. So God shows Moses his glory. But it's something he requested of God. In your presence, I will have mercy. And God said, this is what he said to Moses. And the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness to pass in front of you. I had to bring this into the sermon again today. I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you can't see my face. Remember, God said, no one can live. No one can see me and live. All right. So he says, when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. Isn't that beautiful? God said, I'm going to cover you. I'm going to cover you to make sure you can't see me, to make sure you don't, like if Moses would have looked a certain way, God made sure he covered him so no danger would come to him, covered him completely. He said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And who is that rock? Jesus Christ. We are in the cleft of the rock even now. When you give your life to the Lord, hallelujah, the rock of all ages is always there, and we got our feet upon the rock. Glory be to God. And when we are obedient, we shall not be moved. The only thing can move us out of the safety, out of the way of evil is and be in the way of evil is if we begin to walk back into darkness, if we begin to do the things that are not pleasing to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And so let's go on. We're going to cover some other things, some other scripture. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. God, we thank you for the glory that we have experienced, for your glory, God. And we are so grateful. And Moses, it's believed that Moses penned Psalm 91. But God said, look, I'm going to send my angels before you, Moses. You're going to have all the help you need, all the protection you need. And he sends his angels over us. He gives his angels charge over us. He sends them before us. Glory be to God. We are covered all around by God. That's why Psalm 91 is a psalm that we can read and proclaim over our home and our family. We can proclaim this psalm, hallelujah, because it's a psalm of protection. And God is our shield. He's our buckler. He's our strong tower. We must know that I know when I go that God is with me, whether I'm sitting still, whether I'm going, lying down, whatever it is. My God is with me. His eyes are all over. Amen. Glory be to God. So we take this very seriously. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Let's go to another scripture. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to go here. Thank you, Lord. Another thing that God has reminded us to do, we go into 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Remember, Jehoshaphat also had this army that was facing King Jehoshaphat, and God gave him instructions. And Jehoshaphat was like, I mean, all of these armies coming against us. How do we overcome that? You know, when you get it that you've got all these armies coming, how do we overcome? Well, God has made us overcomers. We are already conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen. And God gave him a strategic plan. They were to worship and praise, sing praises unto the Lord. And they were to do that. And when they did that, as long as the Lord said to do it, they did it. And you know what? They were victorious. I thought I turned this down. They were victorious. Praise God. The enemy turned on himself. The enemy, they all turned on each other. This is the power of God. The power of God did that. That all they had to do was sing praises unto God. Amen. And they did. Jehoshaphat did that. He did what the Lord said. So when we do what the Lord says, we always get the victory. Amen. We already have it, but it'll come into manifestation. Amen. I'm sorry about the noise here. I apologize for that. So in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, God gives us this scripture, and many people have read it, but many people are not obeying this scripture. It says, if my people, God is talking to his people, very popular, one that most ministers use quite frequently. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Don't we want our land to be healed? We want our land to be healed. Our land is our church, our church family, our home. Our land is also where our brothers and sisters live, you know, around the world. It's our land. It's our business, hallelujah, to pray and to do it frequently, to seek God's face and turn from our own wicked ways. But we got to first turn, then he said he will hear from heaven. So this is something that we have to do. Yeah. We have to clean up our mess. Wherever the mess is, it has to be cleaned up or God is not going to hear the prayer. That's what he's saying. Repent and God will relent. Repent, ask for forgiveness, and God will relent. Otherwise, he will not. God is not going to bless no sin. God is not going to be, he's not going to bless it. He'll have mercy on us. He'll give us time to repent because God is a patient God. You know, he's a long-suffering, but at the same time, we got to get our acts together. The church needs to get her act together. Hallelujah. Acting in ways that's pleasing to God, acting in ways of holiness, and then God is going to answer. Amen. He's going to come in and answer. He's going to come in and heal. He's going to come in and revive, refresh, rejuvenate. God is going to do that. We said that on yesterday. Don't we want to be revived? Don't we want to be refreshed? Hallelujah. Amen. That's the bottom line. And it's something that people say they're doing, but we're not really, if we're not doing it in a proper way, in a way that's pleasing to God, it's not going to happen. Just don't expect it to happen. But we can expect God to be a forgiving God because that's who he is. We can expect God to answer prayer when we're lined up with his word and when we're asking for the things that he has promised us, just like Moses reminded God. He reminded God of some things. He reminded God, hallelujah, God, you said this is your people, and he had this conversation with the Lord, and I'm sorry. Thank you, Apostle. The phone it went completely out. Okay. So in this story with Moses, during that time, he was very, very discouraged. The people rebelled, and that was bad while he was with the Lord, and they were in trouble. Hallelujah. And I can't imagine how Moses must have felt that he had done his, because he had done his best to lead them and to follow the Lord's will, and still all they did was complain and find fault, belly aching about this and belly aching about that. You know how people do. And he was very discouraged about it. But the Lord led him. The Lord kept him. And that's what's so beautiful. Moses hung in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're going to look at some ways that we can ways in which we can follow God that will please him, what we have to do. So God tells Moses, just like he will tell us when we request things from God, when we request it from the sanctuary of our hearts, when we have made our heart a sanctuary. Amen. And when we have done that, we've given our heart unto God. Glory be to God. And we love him with all our heart. That's making a sanctuary, our sanctum in our heart for God. And when we do that, then God is listening and God is willing. He's willing to answer our prayers. And this is what Moses did. Even though he made some mistakes, he did, you know, like all of us. And he was chastised pretty harshly. But nevertheless, he made it there with God. What a privilege to even be buried by God. Moses, they didn't have to bury Moses. They mourned for Moses, but they didn't have to bury Moses. God told Moses to come on up, and he was going to bury him. We don't know when he buried him, but we know that he went up, and nobody saw Moses again until he was seen at the transfiguration by the disciples when he was there with Jesus. Glory be to God. So God tells Moses that he's going to grant everything. And so God has Moses in a place. He's in a place of favor in God. Amen. He's in that place because he goes to his place with God. He has a place with God. Amen. He goes and he seeks God. He goes up and he gets that time with God that we need with God. So God tells Moses that he would grant his request, and he would be with them. His presence would be with them. So the presence of God is very powerful. God kept them safe from any harm, from all harm, seen and unseen, as they were traveling, as they were going on the way. God said, "You go ahead. You can go on to the land flowing in milk and honey. Moses, I'm going to be with you," because he was saying, "I'm not going with these people without you, God." So God did exactly as he promised and visited Moses as constantly over and over. There was visitation with Moses. and we can have visitation. We can hear the voice of the Lord when we spend that time with him. Glory be to God. So every now and then, we will see the presence of God and the manifestation of his presence. Amen. That, you know, we'll know that God has already shown us in his word that his power is limitless. There's no limitations to what God can do. He's able to do the impossible. Glory be to God. None of us can do that. None of us can do a miracle. None of us can do these things without God. Hallelujah. The power of God has to be there. And so there's power in the presence of Yahweh. Hallelujah. I have been in services where God showed up in a mighty way. I told y'all that the other way. Hallelujah. So we must know that there's no exception. God says in his word that he has no respecter of persons. Amen. Glory be to God. If God chooses to use you, that's what he does. If he chooses to have mercy on you, that's what he'll do. It's God's choice what he does. It's not our choice. We choose God, number one. When we choose God, we choose life. We choose Yahweh. We choose Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's the choice we have to make. And the other choice is that, God, I'm going to follow you no matter what. I'm going to take up my cross and follow you. That's another choice that we make. God is not going to force us to do that. Once we're saved, we got to work out our own salvation. God is not going to, he's not going to force us to do that. He said, you work out your own salvation. You follow me. Follow me. Amen. Jesus has given that command, but we have to decide that we're going to do that. Amen. We're going to follow God. We're going to obey God. That's a choice that we make. God is not going to beat us over the head, beat us with a bat, beat us up. He's not going to do that. What is hope if it can be seen? Well, we hope for things that we have not seen yet. That's what hope is. It's not hope if we could see it. Amen? It's not hope at all. So we hope and trust in God. We trust in God. We don't know exactly what God's going to do. But one thing we know is that God is not a liar. God is going to do what he said he would do. When we meet the criteria, amen, we got to meet the criteria, y'all. That's the bottom line. And many people just don't want to make the sacrifice. We don't want to say to God, okay, God, I'm going all the way. I'm going to do it your way. Whatever you want to do, have your way with me, Lord. You know, and some people will pray that prayer, but they're still going their own way. We're still going our own way. We're still not doing all the things that God said to do. When I say we, I'm speaking collectively.
Talk about the tree.
Amen. So glory to God. So Moses was bold, and that's very, 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 very good. The Bible says we can go boldly before the throne of grace, and he went boldly. He was bold in his request. He was bold in his prayer. Glory to God. Excuse me. With that relationship with God, we will learn how to be humble. Moses learned how to be humble. He learned how to be humble through those experiences with God. So many people, and I've said this before, we have a warped view. Many people have a warped view of themselves. We think we are much better, much more holy than we really are. Many people. Once you get an encounter with God, once you see the mighty presence of God and the manifestation of that power, God will change all of that, and he will produce that genuine humility in our lives. Is so important to be humble. When we get humble, then the Lord can use us for his glory. Amen? Then we can be used. Then that heart really is a sanctuary for God. Amen?
So the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, casting or surrendering all your care on him, and he will lift you up in due time. Not man, not your pastor, not mama, daddy, not anyone, but God can lift you up in due time. God can show you a new way of life. Only God can get you out of trouble. Only God. When I say trouble, I mean sin. I mean that sin that will keep us slaves, will keep us bound, slaves unto the enemy. When we humble ourselves, God will keep us from falling. Hallelujah. He'll keep us from stumbling. He'll keep us aware of what's going on around us. All of these things are very important in our walk. Amen. So humble. We must be humble. So Moses was the only one in the camp who did not know glory. He didn't know what the glory of God. So others could see it. Moses didn't know, but others could see it. So those who think they have arrived in holiness, in humility, and in power with the Lord usually haven't. Hear me. They usually haven't. You know why? Because they're thinking too much of themselves. They haven't. But when you have a saint that's praising God, giving glory to God, and not bragging on himself and bragging on how much they know, how much they got, bragging, not bragging on the Lord, not giving God the glory, but talking all about what they have, how smart they are, how much of the Bible they know, how good they preach. And, you know, people have a lot to do with that. Because people put other people on the pedestal, and we need not do that. Only God is the highest of the high, and we must give him all the praise and not think that we are know-it-all. But it's mostly the people who think they got everything, know everything, but they're not. God is not pleased with that. And you never hear some people say, Yahweh did this and Yahweh did that. Thanks to Yahweh. Thanks to Yahweh for my home. Thanks to Yahweh for everything I have. Thanks to Yahweh for my family. We're thanking Yahweh because it's all Yahweh's anyway. Hallelujah. The ones that believe that he is everything, they are really the humble ones. That God, Yahweh, has done it all, knows it all, owns it all, sees it all, and is all-powerful. Those are the humble ones. Those are the ones that's always going to give thanks to God, always going to praise God, always give him the glory. Amen. Also, when we decide that we're going to rely on the power of God in us, the Holy Spirit in us to lead us, it's gonna make us desire to worship God. So when Moses saw the Lord as he really was, it caused Moses to fall before him and honor the Lord. So what we think is worship today usually isn't. It's not about singing. We said that the other day. It's not about worship. It's not about praying or preaching. Now, let me say, all of these things may be involved in worship, but genuine worship involves the heart. When we have made the heart a sanctuary, we have made our heart a throne for God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord.
Take over my life, Lord. Take me over, God. Make me over, God. Because, see, God will put you on that potter's wheel, and he will spin you and spin you. That's what it is. He will spin you and shape you and mold you into a holy vessel, a vessel that can be used by God. Amen. And then the genuineness of that worship is going to come out. That genuine worship where there is a desire, a great desire to exalt the Lord, a desire to see him, receive the glory. He is worthy of receiving. And when we experience a genuine, y'all, when we experience a genuine revival and a genuine move of God, we will see our worship change. When we see a revival come, the worship is going to become genuine worship. But we got to have some worshipers that will usher it in, some prayer warriors that will usher it in through bowing down in holiness before God, meekness before God. Hallelujah. When we see people doing that, there are some, they're just prayer warriors, and they're praying for the church, praying for the nations, praying for everything, hallelujah, that God will have us to pray for. And then we're going to eventually, we're going to experience a worldwide revival. A worldwide revival, y'all. It is coming. It is coming. I know it is. Glory be to God. Because there are prayer warriors out here that are really, some on this line, that are really praying all the time, praying for their brothers and sisters around the world, praying for everything that we need to pray for, praying for Jerusalem, praying for holiness in the church, praying and having that mantle of prayer. Amen? And they have warriors like that. Glory be to God. But God wants to see, if we really want to be one that can say, I know you, Lord. We can't know God completely because no one can know God completely. But we know of his character. We know of his nature. Amen. We know enough that we can walk holy. God has given us enough by saying that I will be with you always. Therefore, we can always do what God says to do when we just follow him, taking up our cross and following Jesus, which means that we're dying to the flesh. We are a work in progress. God is working on us day by day by day. Amen. We can get personal revivals. We can have revival in our families, revival in our homes. Revival takes place, but we want to see a worldwide revival. Amen. Glory be to God. And that same media that's being used, that the devil is using for evil, God's going to use it for his glory. Radio stations, television stations, internet, Facebook, Instagram, he's using it now. But we are going to see testimonies coming from all over the world. Amen. Worldwide revival. Let's continue to pray for that. And when it happens, it will be all about Jesus and nothing more. It will become that which the Lord desires it to be. My God, thank you, Jesus. So the revival in us, when we are revived and we are now in line with the word of God, oh God, praise you, Jesus. When we're in line with the word of God, the evidence, there comes the evidence of spending time with the Lord. And it was all over Moses. And we want it to be all over us. Amen. So what I've seen reading these verses, it tells me that Moses became a new man. he became even closer to God, and he was never the same. I believe he was never the same. And that happens with us when we are born again, truly born again, and we're working out our own salvation, and we are running after God. We are doing what it takes to stay close to God. We will be glowing. Our light will be shining, no doubt about it. It won't be dim. Everywhere we go, that light will be so bright because we got Jesus in our heart, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Moses was living. He was a living, visible witness. We have those who are living witnesses on this line today to the power of walking in the presence of God. And the same will prove to be true in our lives, y'all. When we walk with the Lord in our inner sanctuary, and what we are on the inside of us comes out of us, and it can be seen by the world. It'll prove true that the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. There will be evidence is what can be seen. Hallelujah. It's not circumstantial. It's real evidence. And we can talk about what the Lord has done in our lives. We can give those testimonies. Amen. We can talk about all those experiences with God, which is so awesome. So our face may not glow, but the light of the world is shining through us. But one thing for sure, our walk will, our talk will, our lives will bear witness to the fact that we are walking with the Lord in his power and presence. Hallelujah. And therefore, there's a special relationship with God. Now we have his favor. Everywhere we go, we have the favor of God because he is with us. Glory be to God. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you. So wonderful, Jesus. There was such a closeness between Moses and the Lord. So it is with you and I when we give him all the praise and honor him with all of our lives. When we walk in genuine, genuine fellowship, it has to be genuine. That fake stuff is just not getting it. We can pray until we fall out. If we're only praying to look good to the people, if we're only preaching because we want to look good, we want to sound good. We want everybody to know how much we know, how good we look. That is not saying anything to God. That's not music to God's ears. That's not a sweet aroma to him. It's only patting yourself on the back, making yourself look like you're so this or so that, and the people are looking up to people. They're not looking up to God. Amen. We want to always look up to the Lord God Almighty, not looking up to the people. Yeah, be grateful for your leader. Be grateful for the pastors and your prophets and the people of God, the missionaries, the evangelists. Be grateful, but don't look at them like they're God. See what happened with the people with Moses is they got so accustomed to Moses being there. Hallelujah. And because of the greatness of God on his life, they began to look at him like he was God. They began to make him a God. And that's where they got in trouble, because when he wasn't there and they couldn't see him, then they had to make their own God. Hallelujah. They had to see somebody. It had to be tangible. But we are to worship the Lord in spirit and truth.
That's the word I was searching
for. Amen. That's what we have to do, praise and worship him in spirit and truth.
Yes.
Glory be to God. But now Moses is gone. Obviously, they made Moses to be like a god to them, because when he left, they had to have this. They made this golden calf with the help of Aaron, the help of the priest, a priest of God. My God, and that's how we got so much corruption. The people supposed to be people of God, and it's corrupt. There's so much corruption in the church. There's corruption in the government. There's corruption everywhere you look. There's corruption, but it should not be in the church of God. It should not be in the sanctuary, and it should not be in our hearts. If we say we have a heart for God, we love the Lord, we praise God, we worship God, then we shouldn't have any corruption going on in our lives. All of this sin and all of this rebellious stuff. God said those people were stiff-necked. Don't we have stiff necks today? You're stiff-necked if you're still doing your own thing and you can only see it one way, your way and not Yahweh. That's a stiff-necked person. That's a person who has rejected God, but yet we call ourselves praising God, dancing for God, preaching for God, doing all of this, but you ain't nothing but a stiff neck. That's how God looks at you. You ain't nothing but a person who rejected him. He's not accepting that praise that is not genuine. Glory be to God. So God wants that genuineness from us. That special relationship will develop. And it does not mean that he loves one more than another. That's not true. But it does mean that he reveals himself more to those who are walking in closeness to him, and he will speak more directly through his word. He will manifest his presence more often in your heart. He will use you more wonderfully for his glory. Hallelujah. These things alone make walking with God, the Lord, worthwhile. Amen. You're going to see the manifestation of his power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So all of these things are outward signs of an inward revival. Hey, we got to have that inward revival because before we can have an outward revival.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So I'm convinced that Moses' life changed forever on that mountaintop. Now keep in mind, God was speaking with Moses 40 years in the wilderness before his ministry started. Moses was 40 years old after he killed that man. God put him into the wilderness. Moses was alone. There was nobody there but Moses for 40 years before Moses got his ministry going. Mm-hmm. God was preparing Moses all those years. I know God must have been speaking to Moses. He was hiding, though. He had killed that man, and he ran. But God had a plan for Moses. He had a plan for his life. And he was truly sorry. I'm sure he killed that man. But he thought he was doing the right thing by killing him because they were beaten on this slave. And Moses had gotten sick of it. He wanted out of Egypt. But God had him in Egypt. And this would be because it was for a purpose. And this would be the very place that God will have him to minister to. And to all these people, not all of them were stiff-necked, but many of them were. So I'm convinced that Moses' life did change. He was God's man before he went up. Before he ever went up to the mountain, he was God's man. God had already chosen Moses. But when he came down, he was revived and ready to march forward with his marching orders as a saint of God. He had his marching orders, y'all. Hallelujah. And we got to take our marching orders and run with it. Glory be to God. But please make your heart a sanctuary. Let the Lord sit on the throne of your heart. Love him. love him, obey him, trust him, rest in him. God told Moses, I'll give you rest. You won't have to worry because I am with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was saying to Moses. Don't worry, Moses. I'm with you. All power is backing you. All power is backing you. Only God has all power.
Yeah.
And he's backing us. He said, I'm going to put my angels before you. Just like he said, I'll give your angels, my angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. He's talking to all of us. I'm going to protect you. Glory be to God. I'm going to keep you safe from all harm, seen and unseen. Yeah, people get sick. People have trouble. But I don't want to have trouble without the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't ever want to be sick without the Lord. I don't want to be sick at all. Nobody want to be sick. But people do get sick. People do have problems. People have trouble. But I know that God is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. I need
yes.
God's help. I need him all the time. Whether there's trouble, sickness, whatever it is, or even if there isn't, I still need God. And don't make no mistake about it. Don't let your guard down. Don't ever let your guard down. Stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. Stay praying, praising, and fasting and worshiping God. Don't come down. Don't come down. Continue to go up. Don't come down. Continue to look up to God. Amen. Carrying that cross. Don't ever give up. Amen. Keep going. Keep going. Because God has already gone before you. There's no reason to fear or be afraid. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We bless the Lord. Thank you for your glory, God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all we need.
Yes, how about that?
We need the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And there's so much more. You know, we have to focus on the benefits. Focus on the benefits. He told Moses, I'll give you rest. And he meant that. So if you're feeling restless, tired, and the challenges of life is a bother, you're disgusted, and you just want some rest. You just want a change of scenery. Not too long ago, maybe about a month ago, maybe not that long, Bishop and I went off for a weekend. We got away from our place, from our scenery. We wanted to see something else. And we wanted to be with family, and we spent a weekend with our family. And I was just feeling tired. You know how you feel tired? And all I did was walk over to the window, to this big, big, big window, and we could see the water from there. It's so peaceful being by the water. But I didn't want to go down I didn't want to go down to the beach, to, you know, down by the water. I just wanted to look over the water, you know, and it's so peaceful. It's been about a month, yeah. And we went. And it was good because we had gotten sick. We had gotten sick, and we were feeling better. And it felt so good. Apostle just felt so good to get away for a minute. And we did in this beautiful, beautiful place where we were. And just looking at the beauty of the Lord. Hallelujah. And just being quiet because they would go out. And then we had dinner with our family, breakfast with them, and we had dinner with them. But Bishop and I just were relaxing. We were relaxing. And it was a time away. We had so much faith in us here, so much more to do here. And so we came back, not that we didn't feel, you know, like we didn't feel like we didn't have the Lord and all that stuff. You know, we had the Lord. We had the presence of the Lord going with us. He kept us safe and everything. But we just wanted a change of scenery. I don't know if y'all ever felt that way. So if you're feeling tired, I'm not suggesting that anybody go on vacation. But we were very careful. We were very careful, you know, because there's so much stuff going on, and we had already been sick. But we just wanted to get away, and we knew that God was going to be with us. So if you're feeling like that, that happens in life. Nobody can tell me. And people can tell me, because people have said it before, I don't never feel overwhelmed. I don't never feel tired. I don't never feel frustrated. That's not true, because we are human. And even God said, I'm going to have mercy on you, because I know you merely dust. I know how you really feel at times. I know what you really go through, because Jesus felt it all. Every time they put the whip to Jesus, he felt our pain. He felt our challenges. He felt everything that we are going to go through in this life. He felt every sickness. He took all the disease on him. He took everything on him, your frustrations, the overwhelmness, everything that we can feel in this life. Jesus took it upon himself and took it to the cross, and it was nailed to the cross. Amen. Nailed there, killed there. Glory be to God. Where he died on that cross, it was finished there. Amen. So we are going to go through, and for people to say that I've never been through anything, some people say, no, I don't ever feel that. You might not feel frustrated, but some people are tired. Some people feel extra challenged. I mean, there's challenges at work. There's challenges in the family. There's challenges in the marriage. There's challenges in every area of our lives at times. And I don't wish this on nobody, because believe me, sickness is, anybody on this line ever been sick? Or, you know, some people will say, well, I never had this person.
I've never been sick a day in my life.
Never been sick a day in my life. But if you're on drugs, you sure enough sick. Huh? If you're on alcohol and you're an alcoholic, you sure enough sick. You don't have cancer, but you got a monkey on your back. You got a monkey on your back. Matter of fact, with those drugs, you got a gorilla on your back.
What?
A gorilla.
A silverback gorilla.
A silverback gorilla? Yeah. Okay, Bishop.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, whatever extremely bad habit that we have, any habit is a bad habit, and it's a sickness. If it's a bad habit, it can be causing us to lose our lives. It's a bad habit. But some people say, oh, no, I never had this. Well, you know, you had sin, and sin is a sickness. We went sin sick. All of us have been sin sick. Don't make no mistake about it. Even if people don't talk about it, oh yeah, you was a sinner, just like all of us. Glory be to God. And just remember that. Don't let nobody make you feel less. Don't let nobody make you feel less because you're going through something. My God. Because God is with us all. He is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Because he loves us all the same. Amen. So every child of God has been bought at a price. Jesus paid for you to find rest. Amen. A vacation sounds nice. I just told y'all about that. It is nice. We love to go on vacation. We go often. But the truth only lasts for some days, or, you know, the effect of it will be once you get there, you're there, and it's like, okay, I'm here. It's momentary. Hallelujah.
When you feel sick, when you like out, you know, you go have a good time at the club, and you get drunk on Saturday, and Sunday night your head is still hurting.
Still hurting.
You had a great time, so you thought. But that liquor was talking. I got you now.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. And if you think you're not sick, next weekend, you do the same stupid thing.
It's sickness.
Yeah.
It's a habit.
I know.
That's right.
Been there, done that. That's why I don't like to pass the alcohol sign or watch alcohol commercials. Because it just flashed me back on how dumb I was all those years.
Amen.
But I got enough sense to stay away from it.
Glory to God. You know,
we go places.
God gave you that sense.
That's right.
God gave it to you. Only God can deliver
your whenever we go, they say, well, what are you drinking, sir? I say, give me a beer. What kind? Root beer. It's the only kind of beer I want to drink. Root beer. That's it. Now, I've been drinking nothing.
All right.
Nothing that will make me.
Go back to that.
Oh, no, Lord Jesus.
I thought about it.
Lord Jesus, help me.
And after a while, you don't think about it no more.
I can't do this anymore.
Neither.
I can't do it, Lord, without your help.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So the Word of God gives us real rest, comes from being in His presence. You only need to walk in it daily. Daily, Lord. Daily, Lord, with you. Hallelujah. So the Word of God tells us to labor to enter His rest. But how? It is by spending time with God, allowing Him to reveal Himself to us. Let go. Let God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Just let Him. Surrender it to Him. Say, God, You are all-powerful. All-powerful Yahweh. I'm letting go. I'm giving it to You, and I'm not going to worry about it anymore. So the presence of God takes away every anxious thought and frees us from everything that's going to burden our souls. And it'll cause us to rest right amid all the trouble. All the trouble that's around us, we rest. We are resting in Jesus. We're standing on the rock. We know He's our strong tower. We know that we know. Amen. And we're not going to worry. We're not going to feel like I'm being destroyed. We're not going to feel like, oh, I just might as well quit this. I got to give up. Don't give up. We've been praying to God for a miracle. Keep praying for a miracle. Keep believing God. That's the key. Believe in God that He's able. Don't put God in a box. He's a powerful God. Amen. He is a limitless God. There's no limit to His power. We have limits, but not God. Amen. The presence of God takes away everything. It'll take away those things that's not like Him around you. It'll just take it away. Hallelujah. It'll take those worries and that troubled mind away. It'll take all those habits that can destroy your life. It'll take it away, and you won't even crave for it anymore. That's the power of God. That's the power I'm talking about, the power that can give you a miracle, the power that gave the blind his sight back, the power that gave the man his mind back that was a maniac. He was crazy. He was a maniac in the Bible. He was in that graveyard cutting himself. He was mentally ill, cutting himself, and he had many lesions, many devils. His life was destroyed until Jesus came. Until Jesus came, when Jesus showed up. My God, when Jesus showed up in that grave, that area where he was, he was in a graveyard. He was in a graveyard. Yes. Hallelujah. Which speaks of the fact that our soul is dead. Yes. Our soul is dead without Jesus. And until Jesus shows up, our soul is going to stay dead. It's not going to come alive. But when Jesus showed up in that graveyard, that child stopped. He came alive. Hallelujah. All those demons had to flee in the name of Jesus. And the same thing can happen in our lives. The Bible said, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Glory be to God. When Jesus shows up, everything changes in your life. Hallelujah. The power of God can change anything. Glory be to God, and free us from everything that sin will try to will destroy if we don't get free. Whom the Son sets makes free is free indeed.
Amen.
We are free by the power of God. He's given us that liberty because of his blood that he shed. We have liberty now. Hallelujah. And we can go before the throne of grace. We can go boldly before the throne of grace and pray. We can pray. God, I give it to
Please,
you.
Lord.
Take
Please,
it, God.
Lord.
Take it, God. Let your power flow. Let your voice be heard, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to be free, God. I want to be free. Hallelujah. Free me, Jesus. Free me, Jesus, from all these things that are trying to destroy my life. Free me, God. Take over my life, oh, God. Oh, Jesus. And when you really mean it, and he knows. Who knows when you really mean it, those awful destructive habits will begin to drop off your life. Hallelujah. When the power of Yahweh comes, when Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. When Jesus showed up, the people got fed. When Jesus showed up, the people got their wine. When Jesus showed up, the blind, like I said, could see. When Jesus showed up, hallelujah, sickness had to leave. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Jesus showed up at that well, and he showed up at that well. Remember? He showed up at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman's life was never the same again.
Really?
He showed up just for her. He'll show up just for you. And the water, the living water that you partake of, from the well, spring of life, the well, spring of life, Jesus Christ, will never dry out. That well will never become dry. That living water is going to flow like a river. Yeah. The bread of life will always be there. Hallelujah. You can be sure it will. Glory be to God. You have freedom from sin. Freedom. Even though we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, we still sin sometimes. People still sin because our flesh wages war against our spirit. And we are told in the Word of God that anyone who claims not to sin is a liar. The Word of God said that. Don't beat up on me about it. The Word of God said that anyone who claims not to sin is a liar.
Sin.
Sin always causes
when
us.
When it's just told you that lie, it's sin.
Yes, because when you willfully sin and you decide you're going to stay doing what you want to do, then you're not delivered.
Uh-huh.
But sin is still sin, you know. I'll give you an example where people would overlook it, and we're about to close. Say you're telling a story that somebody told you, and then all of a sudden you're gonna add to the story. Well, you're not telling all the truth. The person told you something about themselves, and first of all, you shouldn't be gossiping about it anyway. But then that same story you were told, now you've added to it. Now you're lying.
See?
Or how about when you work in an office? I remember a time I went home and I took the pen. You know, unbeknownst to me, I just took the pen. I used to keep the pen in a little thing there. They got paper clips. You know, people steal paper clips. I had my little paper clips and my pens and all my stuff there. And do you know, I brought that pen back. I didn't think that pen belonged to me. I'm just saying, but people do that. They'll take the pens. They work at the hotel. They're gonna steal a toilet paper and the towels and all of that stuff. And they don't think anything's wrong with that. Oh, they got plenty. Still sin. It's sin. So you could be born again and do little things like that. But we don't really think there's anything wrong with that. You think God is overlooking that? No, he's not. So the Bible said if we claim not to sin, we're a liar. Or we claim we never sin, we're a liar. Hallelujah. Sin always causes us to live in condemnation, and it separates us from God. But by the power of God, we are free. When we decide to allow his power to work through us, we are free. Understand that God never leaves us. We are the ones that stop giving him ourselves, that stop relating with him freely. And see, when people start back in sin or they never gave their lives to God, they're going to continue to do it. And now we are risking our freedom. Just like Adam and Eve, we start to avoid God by hiding from him. We're hiding from him when we live in known sin. So to be sure that sin does not have dominion over us, we need to spend time in the presence of Yahweh. There's power in the presence of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yokes are destroyed. Hallelujah. We are delivered. We can get delivered in the power of Yahweh. Light and darkness cannot coexist. That is why when you turn on a bright light, when you switch on the light, then the darkness has to disappear. God is light, and that means that when you dwell in his presence, sin becomes powerless. Bishop, powerless, and we walk in freedom. Hey, hallelujah. We walk in the freedom of the Lord. He will remove any insecure thoughts. God is going to remove that. This doesn't mean that you will not mess up from time to time, and I'm not speaking that on anybody, but I do know we are still human. Hallelujah. But our soul is safe. Amen. Our soul is safe as long as we don't delve back into that sin and start walking on the dark side, slipping into darkness again. We can overcome it. And we can be strengthened in our inner man, our spirit. Right, Bishop?
Right, right.
So when the Spirit of God departed from Saul, an evil spirit entered him.
Mm-hmm.
Hear me. Saul stopped being bold and became very insecure. Read it in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We will always be insecure if we don't spend time in the presence, in the powerful presence of God. Being in God's presence always leaves us feeling strong. I know I got my God. I know he's with me, and I feel secure. Hallelujah. I'm resting in Jesus. Resting in Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to get ready for the prayer of salvation. So you're going to feel safe when all of the odds seem to be against you. God's going to give you wisdom. Hallelujah. He's going to give you peace. Hallelujah. He's going to give you joy. Hallelujah. He's going to give you confidence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're not going to be yielded to the flesh. See, a carnal person has his mindset on the things of this world, while a spiritually minded person has their mindset on God. That's what Romans 8 tells us in chapter 8 of Romans. Starting at verse 5, a carnal person has his mindset on the things of the world. But here's the thing. Since we are in a battle, we always find ourselves struggling. So there are times we are spiritually minded, but other times some people we find ourselves struggling with carnality, especially when we allow other things to take God's place. Uh-huh. We let other things take his place. And one of the great benefits of God's presence, and I'm closing now, is it causes us to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And here's the best part. You will not yield to the flesh when you become spiritually minded. You have the Holy Spirit calling all the shots, hallelujah, glory be to God, and you follow him. You follow Jesus Christ. You've taken up your cross. You're following him, hallelujah, and you know you got them angels right there. Glory be to God. You know the presence of the Lord is with you, hallelujah, and your greatest desire is to please God. You cannot practice the presence of God and come out the same. God's presence will always remove every evil desire from your heart and fill it with a desire for him. He says, Yahweh says, I delight in those. Follow me. I will give them the desires of their heart. Those who diligently seek me, follow me. I will give them the desires of their heart. This comes from the awesome presence, the powerful, awesome presence of God, of Yahweh. Amen. Yahweh's presence is powerful. Amen. That was the topic today. We were talking about the power of God. Yahweh's presence is powerful. So we were created to worship God. That's our primary purpose in this world. But it is not something that comes naturally because of sin. It doesn't come naturally with a carnal mind. Absolutely not. Your mind has to be given over to the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And lastly, I have to say, God helps us in every way. He helps us to fulfill our destiny. Before God can use us, his presence needs to be with us. We can see this throughout the Bible. Before Saul could become king, the presence of the Lord filled him up, and he became a different person. Oh, my God. Peter denied Jesus, but on the day of Pentecost, when the presence of God filled the upper room, Peter was transformed. He became a bold preacher that willingly died because of his faith in Christ.
Hallelujah.
The plans God has for us are usually bigger. They're bigger. They're always bigger than us. Oh, my God. And we can't see all of it. We can't see it all, but God knows it all. He knows where he's leading us. It's only the presence of God that can enable us, help us to fulfill the plans of God. God's presence gives us divine initiatives, divine protection while we go about his ways.
Yes.
He will never leave us nor forsaken us.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that even in the fire, God will be with us. This means that God's presence is very important in our lives because it offers his divineness on every aspect, in every aspect of our lives. His divine powerful protection, his power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. For the children of Israel to reach that promised land, they needed God's protection. And God was with them all through the journey. He was the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. So we can try to protect ourselves, but God's protection is the best. Our Heavenly Father is everywhere, and he knows how to shield us in all our ways.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. So we don't have to fear the storms of life when God's presence is with us. We don't have to fear any man. We don't have to fear anything. My God, Jesus, be with us. God fights on our behalf, and he shields us from evil. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So see, there are so many amazing benefits when we draw near to God. Hallelujah. Thank God for his divine power. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, God, that you have brought healing to our souls when we receive you. He brings maturity, stability. Glory be to God. All of these things, hallelujah, as you read the word, you will see that his divine power will bring all of these things to your life. Amen. And you will never, ever be the same. So in conclusion, we have to be intentional about spending time in God's presence. It's only by spending time with him, glory to God, that our joy becomes complete. We grow in faith and we will fulfill the plan, the destiny that God has for our life. We're being processed. That's all. We're being processed, all of us. Amen. And we're not going to be finished until we get our glorified bodies. Amen. When we get to see Jesus. Glory be to God. So God's presence is everywhere, but it's all, but we only got it by accepting Jesus. And our bishop is going to come in with the prayer of salvation. We got to practice being with him. We got to practice with the word of God in prayer, practice in diligently seeking God, and just be genuine in our prayers, genuine in the way we live. Hallelujah. And again, I say, make your heart a sanctum, a sanctuary for the Lord. Let him sit on the throne. Make your heart to be like a throne for him, knowing that God is with you and for you and for you will help you to triumph. You can be triumphant saints. You walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, glory to God. And become the person that God wants us to be. Whether we feel it or not, God is always there with you. So do not neglect his presence. We want to walk in health. We want to walk in freedom and experience divine protection. Practice being in the presence of God. And his presence will fill you with the desire, hear me, to please him. Not to please others, to please him. And then we'll know how to treat others. Amen. We'll know how to do unto others as we would have them do unto us.
Yeah, not just do unto others before they do it.
So it's also going to strengthen your faith. The powerful presence of Yahweh. There's power in the presence of Yahweh. That's our topic, faith. It's going to strengthen you. It's going to strengthen your faith so that you don't walk in the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, because that's how we got to praise God in spirit. We got to serve God in spirit and truth. Amen. So it's time to go now. Father, we thank you for this word. Oh, God, help us to walk circumspectly before you, Lord. Help us to always stay in line with your word, oh, God. Oh, God, that we will learn the treasures of this word. There's treasure in your word, God. There's wealth in your word, God. Oh, God, help us to experience the wealth, to receive the wealth, to receive the wealth, because Jesus said, what is mine is yours. Help us to receive it and then live it and have that wealth, the wealth of the Spirit, the wealth of all that God, Yahweh, wants to give to us. And we have the blessed assurance that he will, because he is not like man that he should ever lie, nor the Son of Man that he should ever repent. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Bishop will do the prayer of salvation. Glory to God. Father, thank you for this word. I'm so privileged to have been enabled by your Spirit to bring this word and to be invited. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We are grateful, Bishop and I.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle. I wanna start off by saying, you know, people say, well, he comes on every day with the prayer of salvation. But believe me, Bishop, my background is not squeaky clean. Okay? I used to be one of the last ones. We go somewhere, the club's getting ready to shut down, last call for alcohol. Okay, this is another call for spiritual blessings, for salvation. This is another call, not the last call, because every day, if the good Lord allows me to live for the next 150 years, I'm gonna beg people, please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because Yahweh is the only way. Jesus died on Calvary for our sins and iniquity, not his. So if you've never accepted him as your Savior,
I strongly suggest that you do it now, today. Do not keep waiting. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it Sunday when I go to church. And maybe Sunday you might not feel like getting up and going to church. So what you're going to do, wait till next, till Sunday after next? Who told you you're going to live past the end of this day? No one knows when the Lord will require our soul. No one but the Lord. So play around with God. I'm going to tell you straight up, don't play around with God. Because now you're playing with the Almighty, which we have no power, no rights to fool around with the Almighty. If he says jump, all we see is yes, sir, and how high. And we wait until he tells us to come down, if he so desires. Because he is in charge. He owns everything. We belong to him. People say, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Lies and garbage from the enemy. We are God's. We belong to God Almighty. Please, I urge you, please accept God. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because he is the way, the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Now, if you have received Jesus before, but you're backslidden, brothers and sisters, you're being prodigal sons and daughters, don't be foolish, because the Lord can see us from afar off on our way back home. Okay? And he's going to accept us with open arms. I say us because I sin daily like everybody else. The book of Romans says Romans in chapter 3 at verse 23, we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is perfect. Only God is perfect. So please, brothers and sisters, don't get caught and cross over to the other side and be on that express train to hell. The express plane, you know, is faster than the train. You know, don't go to hell because of stupid cardinal things. There's nothing on this earth that we can bring with us. When we cross over, your soul leaves your car bodies. It leaves us. It leaves our cars, our money, our family, our parents, our children, everything, our money. Everything that we possess on this earth, you know, we possess this, but it belongs right here. It doesn't go with us. Only our soul goes to heaven or hell. Your choice. And I suggest that you choose heaven. Choose Jesus, the only way. Now, if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know, the prodigal sons and daughters know where to go. Okay, the book of Romans, chapter 10. Okay, and for you new believers, book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And the word of God says, but what does it say? It says that the truth is with you. It's in your mouth, which means you have to speak it. And once you speak this truth, okay, you must repent and don't go back to the way you have lived. I mean, if before you got on Block Talk Radio on this day, you were living in sin, you know, if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your slate is clean. You're a brand new creature in Christ. Receive him. Receive him this day, I say. Receive him. Not I say, the Bible says, receive him on this day. And says, if you believe in your heart, verse 9, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on Calvary for our sins and iniquities, not his, on our sins and iniquities. He gave up his precious life for us as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for our sins, hallelujah, and that God raised him from the dead, you know, you have to believe it. You are now saved. And remember, you must say it out loud because the enemy can't read your thoughts. You can think about it all day. Lord, I'm receiving you as my Savior. But you got to speak it out because the word says, that where is it? If the truth, it's in your mouth, which means you must speak it. Please say it. If you speak it real low, you're still putting it in the atmosphere. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins and my iniquities and that Father God raised you from the dead on the third. Now you are saved. Simple and easy. Bless you. Bless you. Now, if you've never been baptized, the way it says in the book of Acts, nor is there any other name mentioned under heaven among men that you must be saved. It only says Jesus. It doesn't say anybody else's name, not Buddha, not Muhammad, not anybody. But Jesus, that's all, Jesus. Okay. Only Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, if you've said this confession, you're now saved, as I said. Now, you're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 38 through verse 40. Okay, 40. And if you have a Bible, write the scriptures down, please. If you don't have a Bible, write the scriptures down and acquire a Bible as soon as possible. Call a friend who has a Bible, a relative, and read it for yourself. Find a Bible somewhere and read it for yourself. Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 40. And the word of God says, and Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you. See, there's that word repent, not going back to your sins. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It doesn't say any other name, none other. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And the Holy Spirit will come unto you. And you will be saved. You shall be saved. Not will, you shall be saved. Please do this for you, yourself and your family. And, you know, it gives your family great pleasure, great feeling to know that, well, mama, daddy, my child, my sibling, you know, or my spouse, did Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So you know where this person is going. You know they're going to heaven with the Lord God Almighty. They're going to be in paradise with Jesus. Okay. That's where you want to be. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for receiving Jesus as your Savior today. And God bless you and your family. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Bishop, Apostle, for that awesome anointed word. Brother Grant, you want to come on and read today?
Thursday, she might be.
Father God, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And God, we know it was so much we got today. As always, we ask you to bless them a hundredfold for all that they has poured out today, pour back into them, cause their cups to run over, O God, Lord God. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah.
And this is what I got here. The power, the authority, the joy, the pleasure, the peace, the healing,
yes,
and life all come from Jesus. All
yes.
Come from being in the presence of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know,
thank
I was
you,
looking
Lord.
Back through the Bible, and I can't see no place except on the cross that someone that was sick and dying and were in the presence of Jesus and they didn't get life.
Hallelujah.
Only on the cross.
Only on
those
the cross.
Two things that was She fired and died in his presence.
Yes.
That's right.
But one
right.
was transferred. One was transferred from there into paradise with Jesus. They both
yes,
died
right.
in his presence. And
right.
as I was listening to Apostle Priest with such tenacity, I tell you, Apostle, the only thing that I got to say to you and I got to say to you right here is that anytime you, I can tell when you, and I tell you this before though, every time that you and Bishop or Bishop and you got a word from the Lord, a strong word, you get a lot of distraction. A lot
yes.
of distraction.
Yes, it's always
and
that way.
That's something between you as my sister and my brother that you really got to work on. Because when you're working for the Lord, I know the Lord wants us to take care of our family.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking care of God's family.
Yes.
And every time that you get a distraction, it messes with your flow. I know because I can hear it. I can hear the Spirit.
Yes.
I can
yes.
hear the Spirit. It messes with
mm-hmm.
your flow of the anointing. And
yes.
you have to just, when you see it, don't even touch it. You know I got to go back, and I got to call this person back. I got to get in touch back. Just know that. Write down their number, tag them, whatever. But don't even touch it because it breaks the anointing. And this was such a strong sermon. I mean, it was so strong. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. It was so strong. The Lord has allowed you to travel in so many different places today. I tell you, I saw you in the desert. My God, I saw you on the mountain. I saw you
Hallelujah.
At the Red Sea. I saw
mm-hmm.
you so many different places with the Lord. You was right there in the mix. I saw you in the Spirit. He was traveling mm-hmm. and showing you things. You know,
yes,
and it
Lord.
Just blessed me. Because everything that the Lord gave me last night when I got the message, I filled it out right away. As soon as I got the tag, I filled it out right away. I said, I wasn't going to wait till the morning. And everything that the Lord gave me about the message you preach about. Apostle, do you hear me? Everything
Hallelujah.
That the Lord gave me pertaining to this message you preached about. I didn't even have to write anymore. You talked about power. You talk about authority. You talk about joy. You talk about pleasure. You talk about peace. You talk about healing. You talk about life.
Mm.
Those are the seven words that the Lord gave
yes,
me last
about
night.
That.
Hallelujah.
That's when you know you're in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Praise
but
the Lord.
You know what was powerful? You said when Moses had problems with the people, with the children of Israel, he would go to Yahweh for advice or instructions on how to deal with the people, the children.
Amen.
Of Israel.
Amen. Amen.
A lot of times we got situations with our family, we got situations with the co-workers, with our friends, associates, neighbors. We want to fuss with them. We want to deal with them in the flesh. See what Moses did, he go talk to the Lord. You said it in the word. It's in the message. He go and talk to the Lord. Why? Because there's no one can give you better instructions than the Lord. Nobody.
Mm.
I don't care who they are.
Hallelujah.
Not your husband,
Hallelujah.
Not your wife,
Hallelujah.
Not your boss,
Glory
not your
God.
Supervisor, not the billionaire, not the millionaire, not the trillionaire, not the president
Hallelujah.
Or vice president. Nobody can give you better advice or instruction than the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
One thing you talked about was so beautiful. You talked about the presence of the Lord in the message. It's so beautiful. I wrote it down like this. There's safety in the presence of the Lord. You
yes.
see, you're coming out
yes.
of Psalm 91. When you get into the presence, I'm not talking just feel. I'm talking when you get into his presence spiritually.
Yes. Yes.
Spiritually. When you get into his presence spiritually, no one can hurt you physically. Do you hear what I just
That's
said?
Right.
When we Hallelujah. Enter into his presence spiritually, no one can
mm-hmm.
hurt us physically.
Hallelujah.
It's right there in Psalm 91.
Yes, it
and
is.
And you said this too. This was good. Very strong nuggets. I wrote it this way. Yahweh will give you the help that you need at the point that you need it.
Yes.
When you really need the help.
Mm.
He will give
yes,
you the
right.
help that you need. You don't have to look nowhere.
He's a very present help in a time of trouble.
Yes, he is.
That's right. And yes, you talked about prayer. That was so essential, you know. You can always mention prayer because that was one of Jesus' favorite things. He loved to pray. He set examples. Every time he finished doing a crusade, he went somewhere in prayer. He'd tell the disciples, just wait over here. He just finished doing a crusade. He tell the boys, he said, look, Peter, James, and John, he said, look, just stay over here. Just stay here. Watch and pray. While I go over here, I'm going over here in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
See, cause he going into the presence of the Father. They were not ready to enter into the presence of the Father. That's where Jesus mm-hmm. go away. He go away, he go into the presence of the Father. And I wrote, we the people of God should always praise God for every situation. Every situation.
Yes.
Every circumstance. Don't matter what circumstance, what condition, what situation we're dealing with, we should always, you talked about with family, get together and all that stuff. That's where I got that from. When the family's coming together, you got to get the stuff, you got to get the house together and all that stuff. Always praise God. Always give God praise for that, you know.
For everything.
You're going on a picnic. You're going on a vacation. God, give God praise. That may be the last opportunity you get onto eternity to praise him.
That's right.
Give him praise.
Hallelujah.
You're up in the airplane flying, going to Africa or India, China, somewhere to do a work for the Lord. That may be the last time you get to go and do something for the Lord. Praise him while you're traveling in the plane. You on the train, praise him. You in the bus, praise him. That bus may flip over you, the only one might be saved.
Yes, Lord.
Because
he holds you up under the shadow.
He holds you up under the shadow of his wings.
That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Woo.
Glory to God.
And I tell you, this is powerful. I just thank God for your apostle.
Oh, hallelujah.
Prophetess girl, she was on the line to end the sermon. She's working with the elderly. But she come on to hear the service. Well, we thank God for the word. I tell you, it's a strong word, Apostle. I believe that in this word today and day before yesterday mm-hmm. is a lot of people going to get saved. A lot of people going to get delivered. A lot of people going to wake up.
Oh, praise God.
Because I want to tell you that the church is sleeping. And if you don't believe it,
God.
You go back and you look. The church is in a big sleep. In a big sleep. And you know what the Lord was showing me. And I know the Lord can tell me when I get there, the Lord was showing me as I was laying on the bed that I'm very tired because I slept with last night. We had a bad storm here last night and my wife had the windows open. Hey, it wasn't bad enough to turn over the truck or something like that, but it was, I mean, you could hear the wind like it was going to tear the bricks off the house.
My wife had the window open,
and the shades, the window drapes and stuff were just clanging. I mean, just snapping from the wind coming through the screens.
My God.
And I just couldn't sleep with that noise. There was too much noise. So I'm tired, but I tell you something, glory to God. The Lord showed me that the problem that the world is in is because of the church. The Lord showed me that. Because of the church, he said, because of the church. The church will not separate itself from the world.
I know a lot of preachers are going to hear this, going to get mad at me,
but it's the truth. The church will not separate itself from the world. You got preachers now that are getting tattoos and getting piercings. They're piercing the nose and piercing the ear and the tongue and all that stuff because they want to think that if they do these things that they're going to draw the world to them. They draw the world to them, but not to Christ. Because he said no one can come to him except the Father draw them. The Father has to draw them. What we have to do as a church, like you did today, your bishop did today, we have to preach some doctrine, preach the word of God, and leave the rest alone. Leave the rest to God. Just preach sound doctrine. Leave the rest to God. But when we start watering down the word in order to please the congregation, we're trying to please ourselves. We're watering down the roots, the word, so we can get accolades. So we can get accolades. No, God don't want. He said, go out and preach the word and be ready to give an answer in season, out of season. Ready. Glory to God. And we just watered down the word. And that you find that the church today, the church has went on and did a whole lot of stuff. And stuff that God didn't tell them. You know, God didn't say it to them. You know, and now the people are hurting. You know, they got that. If you make, I have to watch myself what I say too, Apostle, because you know what I do. You know, they be looking for me too. You know what I'm saying? You know,
yeah,
they be looking for me. You know, so. Yeah, you have to be very careful, because if the Lord has blessed you here or blessed you today, they're going to come after you. Because they believe you should be doing as well, that you should be doing as well as you're doing with the little that you have. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You have to be careful. So, but I thank God for the word that he gave us today. With just a blessed word. We're going to open the line. Our Mother Grant is on there, but she don't say anything. So Brother Deacon is on there. So we open the line. If nobody's saying anything, you know what you do. Because the word is already said. The word is already being delivered. It's already being recorded. And we're not going to beg people to do nothing. Nothing. Once you do
did,
if we get it. We give them a chance to say a word, and they don't want to say a word. Just go on and pray and close out. I'm filled. I'm telling you the truth. I am filled. From that word today, I am filled. I don't have to look for no more. I've got it more than enough today. The
Thank
lane
you,
is
Lord.
Open.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you, God, for those anointed.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop.
Oh, come up, you.
You're welcome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So welcome.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to thy holy name, Father. So
amen.
Anyone coming on?
The lane is open.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. If nobody's responding, go ahead and just pray and close us out, Bishop. I know you all got stuff to do. Relax. You can relax, watch the news, read the word. Hallelujah. It's just a few minutes. I'm going to go ahead and post this message out, send this message out.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless and keep us. May the Lord shine his face upon us and give you peace until we meet again.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you again, Bishop and Apostle.
Lord.
Thank you again for that word. And I want to tell you, I don't care how people have their attitudes and have their way of thinking, I want to tell you that the Lord is pleased. I know he's pleased. He's pleased with what you
did.
Yeah. Lord,
that's all we
want to
do, is praise the Lord. Want to praise the Lord.
That's right.
Not man, we want to praise
pleased.
The Lord.
Yes. He's pleased with what you did today. I tell you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And I tell you this, you Apostle, that this is that your son, the Lord is healing your son. And may
praise
seem like you're speaking long, but the Lord is healing your son. You know, remember, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years like a day, you know?
Yes.
The Lord is healing your son. Not just one of them, but all the children. He's healing all the children.
You know? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Glory.
Watch and see what he does.
Yes, so I said.
He just wants you to be patient. Just trust him. Trust him. And I know you trust him. Trust him and watch for the manifestation. The Bible said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Remember, the Lord said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew this transition, yes, month of the wings of eagles. They shall run and not be, they shall rock and not faint. The Bible say that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get your healing. You're going to get your blessing. You're going to see the blessing manifest upon your children. You're going to see it.
Yes.
Don't care what the devil think he's doing. He can't do nothing. Trying to do something, but he can't do nothing. God already got, God has him in check. God has him in check. God has him in check. He trying to do some stuff to see if he can take you out of focus. That's why the phone troubles will come ring every 5 minutes, you know. He's trying to take you out of focus.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
You stay in focus. I'm working out things for you. I'm working out things for your good. You stay in focus,
you know,
daughter. Stay in focus, son. I'm working on all things for your good and for my glory.
Hallelujah.
Watch and see God does it.
Yes. Apostle told me last night, she said, I'm going to turn this phone, but she forgot to turn it off, you know, that the call couldn't come through, but she forgot to turn it off. Yeah. She turned the volume down. Yeah, and it wasn't.
But then I did make sure it was all the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got to do it. Because that's the enemy doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And all you got to do is wait. Just wait. I tell you, Apostle, just wait. Wait on the Lord. You know, we say that we're waiting, but we don't wait. We're still trying to make things work. God said, wait. Watch me work out everything for your good and for my glory. Last night I was praying for Minister on there. You know what the Lord showed me, Minister on there? Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I was praying for Minister on there and her husband. And I asked the Lord a question. I said, Lord, you told me that he will be coming to the country shortly, but he's not here yet. And the Lord said, told me last night, he told me, my time is not your time.
Nah.
I mean, he just rebuked me. He just rebuked me. He said, my time is not your time, son.
Yeah.
He said, my time is not your time. I said, he's coming shortly. He said, the reason why it seems like it's taking time. And then when he showed me last night, he said, the reason why it's taking time, he said, because I'm working out some things in my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
mm-hmm.
God. I mean, it was just blowing my mind. He says, I'm working out some things in my daughter. He said, even right now, if I tell her, she would say, man, you're right on the money. She is frustrated. The Lord said to me, he said, she is frustrated because he's not here yet. He said, but I'm working out some things in her. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because
word says,
when he gets here, she's going to see more. She's going to see more than she saw when she went to Nigeria. And she's going to have
Hallelujah.
To do it. You hear what I tell you?
Yes, indeed.
The Lord, show me. The Lord, show
Lord
me that.
Yes,
the Lord, show
indeed.
Me that. The Lord, show me that. And I tell you that. I got this on recording, so you know you can go back and listen to it when all the stuff comes through. You'll see.
Mm-hmm.
It's on recording. I'm not saying nothing. I told you, Lord, if I say something that you didn't tell me to say, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak again. Why? Because I only want to glorify God.
I
want to terrify
the
devil. I want to edify the body. That's all I want to do.
Lord knows how it is.
I hear Brother Deacon Fraser back there. Brother, if you want to come on in, because we're ready to go. If, you know, we'll give you a chance.
Amen.
Glory. Give God glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you. For Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you right now, even though this thing went bad. This thing no good where it ought to go. But I thank you. But I praise you, Heavenly Father. I thank you right now. I thank you. I thank you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. I'm glad that you, Lord, I am, Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, you would look like, take like the sweet and honey, oh, Heavenly Father. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, right? Nobody don't seem to know, but it's all about your will, your word, Heavenly Father. Nobody can do it like you. Nobody. Ain't nobody greater than you. Nobody greater than you. Only you, the jealous God. We thank you. We thank you right now. We just praise your name, Heavenly Father. We thank you right now. Lord, we just thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for all the what you're doing. I thank you for the rain and the sunshine. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you for your blessing, keeping us. Keeping us right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I just thank you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you made me for who I am. But now that I thought I don't want to be like, now that I ain't got myself so high, my head all stuck in now. But Lord, I just thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I'm glad that you made me somebody. I am somebody. We all somebody. Everybody are somebody. Everybody are somebody in Christ. Everybody are somebody. But Lord, I thank you right now, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, I pray right now, Heavenly Father. Even though they get lied on you, even though they get lied on, even they put their mouth on you, even though they say they can't stand us, that seventh person, I don't like her, I don't like him, I don't want to hear nothing what he has to say. Why you got him on that? Why you got him on that? Why you got him trying to preach? Why you got him on that trial? Got her that preaching? Why you got her all the time? You got a minister preaching. Lord, is about your will. Lord, you call them your word. Lord, you call them to preach your word. You call them to preach, Heavenly Father. No one that does like you. But, Lord, you are doing mighty work in their lives, Heavenly Father. But, Lord, I pray right now, Heavenly Father. Lord, I send the chin to use the woman of God, not the man of God. I pray right now, Heavenly Father. But, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray you tend to use this church line. The church line, Heavenly Father. Lord, take it to a whole new level. Lord, take it to a whole new, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to use the man of God. Lord, continue to touch Apostle Calvin. Lord, when you touch him with power of your blood, Lord, cover him with your blood, Heavenly Father. Use the man of God. Lord, we pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, he is your brother, Heavenly Father. Lord, we all your brother, Heavenly Father. Lord, we pray, even though that those that come and hear your word, don't leave and jump off. You know that those get mad. You know that those get have attitude. But have attitude, but your word going to go forward. Your word going to go. Your word will never go, the word will never lie. Your word is always going to stay the same. It's not going anywhere. Your word is going to stay. It's going to stay all the way from Genesis, all the way from Revelation. It's going to stay, Heavenly Father. But we know right now, Heavenly Father. I ask you right now, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, I don't want to be called myself, stick my head up so high. But Lord, you want to see low, you want to stand high, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Heavenly Father. Even though they try to say one thing, one bad thing about me, say one thing. Try to think. But I let the enemy know he got to go in a pit of fire right now. He got to go where he come from right now. He got to go. He can't stop my tongue. But only you, Heavenly Father, you blew my tongue. You did it, Heavenly Father. No one done it like you. No one done it. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm not bragging. I'm boasting on you, Heavenly Father. A lot of the Lord to brag about how many dollars they make. I mean, much advantage they got, jewelry ring, diamond rings, and all that. They brag about wives and brag about husbands and sugar daddies and all the pimp daddies, side piece and all the little junk. Brag about the Max and all that. Brag about their Max. I ain't made a cheeseburger yet. Never ain't made it yet. Yeah, I said it. Ain't made one yet. No, what they need to be doing, praying the law. We need to pray, tell the law, thank you. Tell the law where you think, where they got it from, where they bought it from. Talk about their divorce problem, their financial problem. But Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you right now, Heavenly Father. We just pray right now, Heavenly Father. We pray right now, Heavenly Father. I ask you right now, Heavenly Father. Even though they get mad, even though they know the enemy, I know he's mad at me. He needs to stay mad because he's gonna say the truth. It's going to be the truth. The word shall set you free. And then your word said, the book of St. John said it. It's going to stay. And also Romans said the same thing in Romans. It's going to stay the truth. It's always going to stay the truth. You know, your word is not going anywhere. Your word is always going to stay. I don't want to be no arrogant person. I know what's arrogant. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be the arrogant person. I don't want to be thinking I know more than this person might know everything, know but the person know everything. You can have all the Rolls cars in the world. You can have all the shoes, tennis shoes, St. Adam, Timberland shoes, Nike tennis shoes, Jordan tennis shoes, next person higher. But that don't make less than the next person. But that don't make the next person how they are. But, Lord, it's all about your will. But, Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you right now for blessing you on top of my head. Lord, I just thank you right now, Father. I thank you to touch my arm, touch my eyes. I ask you to lift them up. I ask you whatever that problem they're going through. I ask you to touch mental son Vera, whatever she's going through, Heavenly Father. I ask you to touch whatever the situation, what's going on in her life. But, Lord, we pray, my Father, to strengthen a woman, God. Continue to tell the crown off of my soul to her feet, Heavenly Father. We had to touch her family, her mom and her father, her brother and her sister, her husband. We pray, my Father, we ask you make a miracle in his life that he will come to the United States, make a miracle. But he will come only on your time, my Father. Not on nobody's time, but on your time, my Father. But Lord, we pray, my Father, make miracles happen. Lord, we pray for those all over the world. We ask you to lift all over the United States of America. Lord, we pray. We pray in the White House, look at the accomplishment. We look at the governor, the government, look at the economy. Lord, we lift everything that we lift up. We lift up these abortions going on. We lift up everything that's happening. We just look at the young people, young babies are leaving. Young babies are dying. We look at the young babies. Lord, we have to touch the young children. But Lord, we have to lift them up, Heavenly Father. We have to touch them. Heavenly Father, we ask you to lift up the young babies and lift up the mothers trying to raise their children. We pray, Heavenly Father, we ask you right now, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now that the shrine do ends meet. The work making ends meet, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those out there, for Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift up. We ask you to lift up Apostle Stewart, Pastor George Stewart and his family. We ask you to lift up his wife. We ask you right now to continue to lift them up, Heavenly Father. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. We ask you to continue to lift up every caller come on this church line. We ask you to lift up their Sister Anna, Sister Ernestine. We ask you to touch bind up that cancer out of her body. And she is healed. She's covered by your blood. She will live and she will not die. And we ask you to touch Apostle Millie Jefferson. We ask you to touch her right now, the woman of God, Heavenly Father. Lord, wherever she's stressed and wherever she's exhausted, we pray, my Father, for Apostle Millie Jefferson. We have to give her the strength. Continue to strengthen her right now, my Father. We have to touch her brother and her sister. We ask you to bind up that breast cancer out of her body. We ask you that she will live, but she will not die. Just come by your blood, my Father. We ask you to lift up her grandchildren, her niece, uncle, and nephew. Lift up the native neighborhood, my Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up, touch our home. Continue to touch our right, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch the Father Millie Jefferson, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, for her family. We pray, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift up, help up our Providence, for Providence Kersey, Heavenly Father. We ask you to lift up her son. We ask you to lift up Milton Jones, his family, his wife. We ask you to he come and give his comments. He comes from time to time, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask you to lift it up, Heavenly Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I just thank you, Heavenly Father. I don't want to be like the next person. I don't want to be like me. I want to be the best who you made me, who you called me to be, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I don't want to be like them, because I don't want to be like the next person. I want to just be me. I want you to, Heavenly Father, I'm happy that you have made me just the way I am, Heavenly Father. Lord, and wants to accept me for who I am. But Lord, because only you, Heavenly Father. But Lord, I just praise you right now, Heavenly Father. But Lord, it's all about your will, Heavenly Father. But Lord, everyone think you got to have this, you got to be that next person. No, I just be happy who you are. I got to be, I got to be like, be just like that next person. No. Being happy for what, who I am. Be as happy for who you are. Don't let nothing change no one, nobody. Change you for who you are. Yeah, I know sometimes I don't like a lot of things that I didn't like. I didn't understand some things. I didn't like being what I knew now. There's a lot of things that really, get me down and out. A lot of things that gets me upset. A lot of things because we bragging about how many cool clothes they got, bragging how many women they got, how many children they have, bragging how many men they got and all that. And you wondering why you the shape. If you wonder why you shape the race you in right now. You wonder why. You wonder why they show are not going where they all should go. We want into that right now. We wonder why. We wonder why. You wonder why we get stressed out. We wonder why. Why you running around to that man, you run around to that next man. You run around that next woman over there. Then we think we'll look good. We look good all we think everything look good. People look at the flesh so much. And then when something don't look good, something when you think it look good, then guess what? It don't look too good. It don't look good. So what look good don't look good all the time. No, it don't look good. So we gotta be careful who we ride behind and all that kind of junk. And one day you just gonna run no more. And they say when you give in, you'll give out. That's why we got to stop running. We got to stop running to Jimmy over there. We got to stop running to Harry over there, to Sam over there. Start running to Bob over there. Start running to Dale over there. What we need to be doing is looking up to Jesus. That's what we need to be doing, looking up to Jesus more. Why we're running up to side piece over there. That's what we need to be doing. And 5 feet are not a thing to play with. 5 feet don't look good. It don't look good. It don't look good at all. It don't look good. Then some people wonder, well, why do you talk about it? It's the truth. You got to start running around. Start running with 5 feet. Stop running. So we have your cake and you eat two cookies. I'll tell you something about the cake. The little cake you eat might not taste good. But I'll tell you that right now. Every cake don't irritate. You can't go every table that you go to. That's why we gotta be careful what we run off from. So the air chance of air going to every table ain't good for you. Every table ain't for everybody. No, it's not for everybody. So something we gotta be careful who we let. We gotta be careful drinking out a bottle, who we trying to drink. Bottle, we gotta care who trying to put drugs, how drugs go. So they'll put some in your drink. They will drug you and they will kidnap you. And that's the truth. They will kidnap you. So we gotta be careful who we let. What we drinking all the time. What we drink out of these cups. And we also can tell what restaurant we go to. So every food you go to ain't good for you. Every restaurant ain't good. It ain't good to go in that restaurant. So you don't know what's in these food these days now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, every food that we eat, we gotta be careful when we go in these restaurants, what food we eat all the time. But that's the truth. You gotta be careful. Also, be careful who you hanging out with, who you're running around with, who you associate with. Then that's the truth. Who you running around with, who you running around. You think you want your best friend? Yeah, be careful who you're hanging around with. Because I tell you, everybody not just not for everybody. Every friend who you hang with ain't for everybody. They ain't for everybody. And what we need to be trying to trust, need to try to trust God. We need to trust Jesus. That's what we need to trust God. Pops, I don't mingle with everybody. I don't run around associate everybody run around with so-called friends over there. Your so-called best friends. So you don't know what they got it right up their sleeve. You don't even know. We don't even know what they got up their sleeve. We don't even know who we run around with. Even outside the family, we got to be careful who we let run all over us. Dogs that just beat us, down. Who run all over us? Who dogs out and who disses? Who drive us down? That drive us off the wall. We got to be careful. And I let them know, you ain't gonna let you run all over me. I ain't gonna let you. One thing about it, you can't steal my joy. No, you can't steal my joy. Who get mad at me, who don't like me? I ain't one who dislike me. Only God loves me who I am. So I love Jesus, my best friend. See, have a relationship with Jesus, I can talk to him right now. He is my best friend. That's my best friend right now. I can trust the Lord right now, That's right. I can trust him right now. But all we got to mean it. We got to mean it from the heart. We got to mean it from the symbol. We got to mean it. We got to ban him when we want him. We got to always cry out hard. We can scream and loud all we want. We can holler up loud all we want out of our lungs. All you want. But he ain't going to be able to hear you. Sometimes we think he heard us. Sometimes he ain't. He hears, but do we really truly mean it, what we say? But we also got to mean what we're crying out, because you can't go away shaking and faking with the Lord. Because God is not no shaking and faking. I'll tell you that right now. There's too many shaking and faking with God. There's too much playing. There's too much all the playing with witchcraft and all that old bull junk. Jumping up, run around the floor, jumping all over the floor. Up and down, run off, run down, stay upstairs, run up playing. Because there's too much playing. There's too much playing in church, half of God. Because God gets tired of it. He's sick and tired of it. He's very sick. He's sick and tired of a lot of playing with him. He just fed up. God is fed up, tired of it. He is tired. So that's why so much I have. Why do you think the world is still in this shape? Well, it ain't gonna never get no better. Someone said, yeah, it's gonna change. Ain't gonna do it. No, it ain't gonna do right. It ain't gonna do no better. It's gonna get worse. What do you think? It's gonna get worse and worse. Cause we ain't seen nothing yet. That's right. We ain't seen nothing yet. That's right, we ain't seen nothing yet. So you might as well get ready. You think off that COVID? Yeah. Caught that COVID-19? Yeah. Now he'll talk about this. Talk about that monkey talk. Next time all the diseases going around. So we gotta be careful who we hanging around with. We gotta be careful. So this thing is nothing to play with. There's nothing to play. There's nothing to play. Because you can't go up in bed, every bed you run, you get in bed with somebody, you jump in bed because you think it would look good to you all the time, because you think how she look. Because you think that she turn you on so good. You think that she turn you on. She make you look good. She turn you on and all that kind of mess. She turned you on because she's showing everything. She's showing everything. Then you sitting there with Michelob and all that Bud Light beer and all that Colt 45 and what else? Cool Light and all that. And Budweiser beer and all that. And them all talking about this Bud for you and all that old junk. One day it might not be no blood for you. It might not never be no this blood for you. It might not never be no blood for you. I'll tell you that right now. It might not never. Y'all think I didn't know that. But I tell you that right now, you might not know. It might not be no this blood for you. But we gotta stop all this, all the what we think will look good on the outside. Will look good on the inside, don't look good at all. And it really don't. I'll just be honest with you. But I would say this. I would say no matter what, no matter how we come on this call, we come to this church line, it's gonna be no matter what, how a lot of them gonna come against you. A lot of them don't say nothing, don't never encourage you. But always remember, God is always, He's always there. He's always there. He's there. He's always there. He got your back. And no one ain't got it. Because some people say they love you 1 minute. Guess what? Then they'll hate you. They hate you the next minute. They'll dislike you 1 minute. They got attitude with you the next minute. Because I can't deal with stinking attitude. I'll tell you all that right now. I can't deal with a stinking attitude. I can't deal with it. You stink all you want, but I ain't going to deal with you. I sure won't. I'm not going to deal with it. And I let them know. Don't play with me. I let them know. I tell them who don't like me. That's good. That's really good. They don't like me. But I know who do like me. But I know upstairs, like God love me. He like me. God the one who I trust, the Lord. Ain't always got it together. Ain't always got it right. Ain't another thing you never got it right. Yeah, we all fell short of sin. That's what Book of Romans said. Yeah, we all have. That's what the Bible said. That's what Romans tell us. And I always say, that's why we do it, prayer of salvation every day. We do it every day. Because that's why prayer of salvation is always so important. I enjoy the prayer of salvation. I enjoy it. I don't know about nobody else, but I'll talk about me. I ain't talking about nobody. I can talk about me. I enjoy the word of God. I enjoy it. Thank God what I heard. I really pretty much enjoy that thing what I hear. I just thank God what I heard. They gonna see the best on the word, and I enjoy it.
Thank you, Brother Deacon. And thank you, Bishop and Apostle, Mother Grant, and all those that came on the line earlier. Have a blessed evening. We'll see you on tomorrow. Have a blessed evening, safe evening.
Yes.
Keep my wife in your
too,
prayer. Samara in the prayer. They're at the mall now. Samara had to go return some pants or something. But outside, the weather is getting real terrible now. So we pray that they will make it back. And all those other people at the mall will make it back home safe. So we thank you. God bless you all. Goodbye.
Me too.
Bye-bye.